News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are we on the air? Melissa, is it okay to go ahead?
Yes, it's okay.
Okay,
you may start.
We start hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment, written, produced by herself, Melissa Sargent. And for the El Paso History Alliance, you do these things. Our History Moment today is about setting a tree-sitting record in El Paso.
Kids take to the trees to break record. Who'd have thought of tree-sitting as a competitive sport? Well, obviously, some El Paso kids looking for something fun and exciting to do during the summer of 1930 thought it was a great idea. It all started July 14th when 9-year-old Warren Jenkins Farlett climbed the tree in front of his house and announced that he intended to stay in the tree until 3 p.m. because he had to climb down because of a swim date. Doyle Gaither climbed into his backyard tree fort filled with comforters, rations, and books to pass the time. Now, Doyle said his mother, who was out of town and was unaware of his antics, won't be mad when she learns he is the new champion, beating the current record of 103 hours. Likewise, Cecilia Schwartau, whose tree loft had a roof, electricity, and a mirror, of course, said she would live up in the air for the highest tree honors unless her daddy tells her to come down. But not all adults were on board with the kids' tree-sitting, like Dr. P.R. Outlaw, who had concerns for the kids' health. The Herald Post, the Crawford Theater, even offered free tickets for tree-quitters. By Friday, though, tree-sitting was starting to lose its charm for many tree-sitters, and they were leaving their trees, but Doyle and Cecilia stayed put. On day 9, Cecilia alighted from her tree to become the National Girl Champion tree-sitter with a total of 237 hours. On July 25th, the Herald Post reported that Doyle Gaither, age 14, was the new tree-sitting national champion and would be ever remembered as the boy who brought the national tree-sitter title to El Paso by keeping his leafy perch for 303 hours. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
And you're on Facebook with that.
Yes, I am. I'm on Facebook, and I have the El Paso History Moments Facebook page, and this one will be posted up later also. And, you know, that was a funny story. I mean, there was a lot more involved in that story. It sounds silly, but these kids had a blast doing this. It was really crazy. I was amazed how many kids. It was about 13 kids total.
I would think potty breaks would be unusual.
Well, that's why the Dr. Outlaw was really ticked off. He says, it's just unhealthy.
Oh, dear.
Especially one kid fell out of the tree, and there was storms and rain. I wish I could do the whole story. It was amazing.
Call Bernie for more info. Is that right?
Yeah, ask him. He was in the tree. So you can call him.
He's
still in the tree. He's at 915-581-7920. And I got to thank Max Grossman and all the great people over there working on the El Paso History Alliance Facebook page with over 60,000 followers now.
60.
Can you imagine? I mean, they're largest apparently in the country on this with this kind of history. And also, we've got to mention another incredibly large Facebook page of followers, and that's Barbara Given Baney's Remembering El Paso When. And so you can go there for wonderful archive pictures and all kinds of great stuff. And they've got, I think, over 40,000 now.
I saw 33, but we'll ask old BGB when we see
her. She can correct it.
Moderators, Craig Hayes on that thing. Barbara Given Baney's the chief admin, and Ken Weiss, Paul Libby, and Bernie Sargent is one of them guys there. Right, we're still talking about the history of St. Clement Church, apparently 2 hours worth. So here we go on another hour. And what we do have the Reverend John Dixon. John Dixon, you're still with us, right?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right.
I'm not in a tree.
You're not in a tree.
Well, come on.
You can see better. What was that story? Zacchaeus, do you know that story?
Zacchaeus, yeah, he was a little short guy. He had to climb up in a tree in order to see Jesus.
I even knew that. Can you imagine that? Well, now we're going to take another.
I'm impressed. Apparently, you did learn something in Sunday school.
I could sing you the song, but it wouldn't be a good idea. All right, now we got to pull another reverend out of the hat here in your history. And now we're going to go to the Reverend Easter. Reverend, what do you have to tell us about the history of St. Clement? Reverend Easter.
Yes. Well, this is Reverend Henry Easter, and you wouldn't believe all the bureaucracy I had to go through with all the angels to get to call down to you guys today. It was just unbelievable.
I got one question for on that. Is that, was it a long-distance call?
You know, it's closer than you think.
That's
really,
why I've heard that there's a kingdom at hand there. So, yeah, keep going.
Well, Jesus said the kingdom is within you. So,
yes.
I was the rector. And by the way, the rector comes from, the word rector comes from the Latin, which means ruler. Although we don't like to mention that. It's, you know, rectors are usually seen as servants and ministers. But back in the day, that's what it meant. So I'm the senior pastor here at St. Clement's. I was here from 1903 to 1917. And yes, I am the guy who rode his bicycle through Europe before coming to St. Clement's. And by the way, the original name was the Church of St. Clement. And we just say St. Clement's as kind of shorthand. So the original name was the Church of St. Clement. A couple times in our history, we've been a cathedral church, so it's been the Cathedral Church of St. Clement, but we're back to our original name. So I am the rector who came here in 1903, and we were about to outgrow our property on Mesa Street, and so we began building. You've already heard about that. In 1907, we had our first official service. We actually had a service before that in Kendrick Hall, the parish hall next door, but we delayed our opening till February, till February 9th, I think it was. And anyway, so the church on Campbell in Montana has been there since 1907, and it's just as beautiful. And one of the things you may have heard is that people love the old church so very, very much that they not only were reluctant to give it up, but I told them that they wouldn't have to sacrifice a single piece of wood. We would take every piece of wood from the church on Mesa Street, and we would incorporate it into the church on Campbell in Montana. And if you walk into the Church of St. Clement right now and look down at the floors, the floor was made out of the wood planks from the church on Mesa Street.
Oh, that's cool.
And I understand it's been recently redone, and it's gorgeous. And actually, it was originally intended as a subfloor because it's pine. It's not oak or anything like that. So you look down at that floor, it's a pine floor, and it was what you saw when you looked at the outside of the church on Mesa Street. And I'm also the guy that rode my bike around the different neighborhoods. And the number of prostitutes was not determined by me. Actually, that was written down in 1913, which was some years after they wrote the legislation.
I wouldn't expect you to know the number. I wouldn't expect you to know. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, Las Vegas didn't exist until 1905.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking there were probably a lot more of them in El Paso back then.
Oh, yeah.
And in 1905, when the city finally outlawed them, a lot of them moved to Las Vegas and started that.
I didn't know that. Okay.
I'm supposing that. But
yes,
and
of course.
A lot of the gamblers.
Reintroduce you, you are at this point, you are the Reverend Easter, who was in the church operating in the early 1900s. Keep going.
Right. From 1903 to 1917. And it was quite a large church back then. There were many, many different guilds and groups within it, a men's group that not only included the men from our church, but from many other churches. There was a large Sunday school, a large young people's group, social group. It was really a pretty happening place. And then it became the cathedral again, or for the first time. And Bishop Kendrick had offices in what's known as Kendrick Hall, which is our parish, which was our parish hall at the time. And we installed a beautiful Tiffany mosaic. But I oversaw every stone that was put in that building. I was often down there 14 hours a day watching it be built. I disassembled the organ myself, reassembled it. I oversaw the entire process.
I got a question for you. Where did where did that stone come from? Because I know you had a geology tour at the church a couple of weeks ago, and I got to think, what's that about? And it was the guy, Eric Kappas, was looking at the stones in the wall of the church and pointing out the fossils. Where'd that stone come from?
Yes. Well, that stone came from the quarry up on Mount Franklin.
Oh.
And it's a fascinating story, and Eric did a wonderful job, and he pointed out all the fossils that are in the stones. You can see them from the outside of the church. We walked all the way around the church, and at least my successor, Father Bill Cobb, walked around the church.
Oh, that guy, that Bill Cobb guy did that. Okay, got it.
Yeah, looked at all these fossils. There's a kind of a mottled colored stone that makes up most of the church, the old church, and that coloring comes from shrimp that buried into the bottom of the ocean and made holes and then were filled with sediment. And that's where you get that color from. You also see squids, and you see other shelled animals, I guess. And so it's really fascinating. I mentioned in a sermon, this is Father Bill Cobb, I mentioned in a sermon that we had millions of fossils in the walls of our church. And one of my parishioners said, yes, and we have a few in the congregation, too.
Rim shot. Good God. Well, let's talk to the Reverend Cobb for a couple of minutes. Thank you for being there.
That would be me.
Yes, indeed. Now, you sound a whole lot like that old guy. But, it's an interesting thing to hear you portray these characters from the history of the church. We've got one coming up in about 20 minutes, about 10 minutes, about Albert Jennings Fountain was also a member of your church. And a fountain. We have him coming in by recording. That'll be an interesting take. But we got the Reverend John Dixon back with us, along with the Reverend Cobb now. The history of the church, let's talk about the building a little bit. You mentioned the outside. It's an interesting building. I've been in there a number of times. I'm not a member. A lot of my family was members, cousins, one grandparent. The other grandparent went up the street to Arizona Avenue, the First Christian. That's where I ended up. But I've been in that church many times for many reasons, and it's a fascinating old building.
Oh, it's a beautiful church.
Gorgeous. Describe the sanctuary on one end and a little chapel on the other end and a big chapel in the middle.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Father Henry Easter visited other cities, including Denver, to see designs of churches and chose this kind of neo-Gothic look with an apse in the front. That's a rounded area where the choir is and where the altar is, rather than a long traditional choir. So it's almost kind of a big square building with an apse at the front. And it was redone in the 1970s, but there is a beautiful chapel named after Father Henry Easter by the Sunday School just before he retired in 1917. And a lot of our older parishioners remember being married or having a funeral or having a baptism in there. It only holds about, you might be able to fit about 15 or 20 people in there.
My parents were married in that chapel. In the 1940s.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I wasn't there necessarily, but I've heard the stories. They were married there. Keep going.
So big weddings weren't necessarily the fashion back then. So sometimes it was just a few family and friends. I did mention we have a beautiful Tiffany mosaic hanging on the left side of the sanctuary that was put in, I believe, in 1916 while Father Henry Easter was there. And it's just gorgeous, we've got a wonderful organ that was donated many years ago, and we have the best organist in the city, pardon me, but Rick Garvin is just fantastic.
Oh, yes, I know him. I got to tell you, that church is a fascinating church. Also, you've got a regular school Monday through Friday, private school in there at the other end of the building, and the building's been modified a number of times. You can go through and see old windows in a hallway, yeah, and new windows here and there. One of those windows was put in by my grandmother, Ruth Dean Jackson. She's got a window in there. So that, I do know the history slightly, and I'm fascinated by the building. We got to take a break here, gentlemen, and we'll come back and talk some more. But we got the two reverends on for the rest of the hour, along with Albert Jennings Fountain coming up in about 15 minutes. And we're going to talk more about the history of the church and explain maybe the Anglican and the versus Catholic versus none and whatever happened 10 years ago. There's all kinds of history there that people have heard about, but maybe we're going to get you guys to explain that in a bit. Would that be all right with y'all?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
And let's see, the Reverend Dixon, you're still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, don't go anywhere. We've got to take another break and come back and deal with this. We'll take a phone call if it's on this topic, and also Facebook.
I'm going to be putting all of our guests' pictures up on Facebook just shortly.
Cool.
So you know who you're listening to.
You're going to put up the Reverend Easter or the Reverend Cobb?
Well, I'm putting up the people that are telling their stories.
I see. Okay. We've had 5,916 people look at the promo we put up on Facebook with the old picture there from, where did we get that picture? I think from the library. But that was a picture of St. Clement on that view of the Montana and Campbell Street side. Interesting building, interesting history, interesting place.
Interesting people.
And they're on the air here because they've been doing this for 150 years in El Paso.
They should know it well.
That gets you on the show here. So that's what we do here. Call us up if you want to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
With over 19 years of experience in the El Paso real estate market, Patrick Tuttle has successfully navigated the ups and downs of uncertain markets, including the last recession. And he can assist you in buying or selling in the current market. Call him today, 915-588-1850.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me. Call me today at 915-588-1850. 588-1850.
Man, these campaign ads are brutal.
Too many, huh?
Way too many. They just don't stop. I'll work with anyone. That's a bunch of bull.
Yep, I see them too.
Yeah, and did you know Social Tourist Small's first vote in Congress was Nancy Pelosi for Speaker?
Wait, first vote?
Well, it makes sense. Social Tourist Small votes with Pelosi 95% of the time.
95% with Pelosi? Holy.
Oh, yeah. And Tourist Small votes 97% of the time with anti-oil and gas extremists.
Yeah, there goes your job.
And yours. And the kicker? The NRA gave Social Tourist Small a D rating. She's bad on guns.
So Social Tourist Small's bad on guns with the anti-oil and gas extremists and votes with Pelosi?
I'm telling you, her ads are full of bull.
Makes it pretty easy to vote no on Social Tourist Small.
Mm-hmm.
Paid for by Congressional Leadership Fund and not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.congressionalleadershipfund.org. Congressional Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Back to work at that J-O-B, the one you realized isn't for you? Well, that's if you're lucky, right? Make your move. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
If you're curious about who may be out there but don't want to jump into anything right away, then take a fun step and just take a look at Our Time. Our Time is the number one dating site for singles over 50. It's easy to use and can help you find a partner to share in a new activity you've been wanting to try, take a walk, or just meet someone new. Check it out. Start for free today. Go to ourtime.com. That's ourtime.com. Start for free at ourtime.com.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, next week we're going to have some folks coming in and they're going to be pretending like they're dead at Concordia. I mean, you get all kinds on this radio show. Next week, we have a virtual walk through history, Concordia Cemetery, with Association President Patricia Kidney. And we have four storytellers in that 2 hours. And they'll be on the October 17th radio show featuring Keith Erickson, featuring Constable Selman, Bernie Sargent doing Texas Ranger Diamond Dick Ernst, St. Leon, Patricia Wickham doing Lady Flo, Florida J. Wolf, and Karen Thomas doing Lucy Van Patten. Boy, howdy, that's next week.
We'll be busy.
Oh, yes. October 24th, we're going to tour the museum on the campus of El Paso High School and hear the history of El Paso's first high school. This is the only museum I ever heard of on a high school campus. So we're going to hear about it from the alumni at El Paso High. The president is Amara Flores, and she's all excited about this. Me too. Because, I mean, I went to Austin, but I'll go to their museum. Anyway.
Hey, it's all relative.
Well,
yes.
It's kind of neat. October 31st, Halloween show with a focus on the ghost stories of El Paso, which we will be showing for free that weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, at a Scarity Park on a big blow-up outdoor drive-in screen, big speakers, all that stuff. But on the radio show that morning, we're going to feature those videos with J.R. Calamia, who was on some of the ghost tours, but also Lady D. Diana Calamia, who was on all the ghost tours. They toured El Paso ghost spots with me and a cast of photographers, and the outcome was four DVDs called Ghost Stories of El Paso. We're going to play two of them on that weekend over there in Scarity Park, up on the screen outside. Bring your car and all that stuff. Okay, November 7th, Trost Society President Bernie Sargent going to be our guest. He's going to report on the newly renovated Paso del Norte Hotel, a Trost Hotel, and bring us an audio tour of the grand opening. Second hour, Bernie's going to go postal, A to Z, history mode to explain El Paso and the Civil War.
Civil.
There's nothing civil about it. November 14th, Philippa Solis and Zul Bailey take us through El Paso history that Zul Bailey has seen. He's seen quite a bit. So what do you got?
Okay, American Pickers TV shows from the History Channel is talking about coming to Texas and to different parts of Texas, possibly El Paso. And if you have a collection or something unusual or that you think that they might have an interest in and maybe be on TV, be a star, you can call 1-855-OLD-RUST. That's the easiest way to remember, which is
Old Rust.
Old Rust. 1-855-OLD-RUST. Or email them at AmericanPickers@Cineflex.com. And also, we've got coming up locally here, we've got the roundup with the El Paso Corral of the Westerners, Friday, October 16th at Holiday Inn West on 900 Sunland Park Drive from 6 p.m. And it's got a great program this time, Frontier Justice, Selman Style, presented by Keith Erickson. Program and dinner cost is only $20. And if you want to RSVP, please call 759-9538, no later than Monday, October 12th. No walk-ins, I'm sorry, with all this COVID.
That's just Friday night.
Yeah. Okay. And Keith does a great job.
So
we'll hear him here on the radio, but you got to see him in person.
Call him up, and again, that number to call him up is?
The number is 759-9538 to make your reservation.
All right, we've got the two reverends here from St. Clement Church. And this is a short segment, gentlemen, about 2 minutes. We're going to come back with a long segment. We'll talk to you further. But in about 2 minutes, what can you give us on a summation? Maybe the building of the church that you're in now, because it was renovated at one point, because I go down a hallway there that has exterior windows, but they kind of look at another wall. What is that?
Yeah. Well, let me just say really quickly that BMG Williams Hall, which was built in the late 40s, was and ends with McKee Chapel at the far end. One thing that's very fascinating about that building is that all the windows on the first and the second floor were designed by Jose Cisneros.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's a very important artist from El Paso, as you know. And then also, they were installed by the Baker Glass Company back.
Well, you guys should give art tours in there for that. I didn't know that.
Yes, and then the stained glass windows in the McKee Chapel are fascinating too, because they kind of go through the entire history of Christianity right up until there's a cowboy in the Wild West and people that came out here and explored. So it's a beautiful chapel too.
Reverend Bill Cobb.
Can I add something?
Real quick. Hold on, John.
John, you will see a plaque saying that the Jewish community of El Paso helped fund that wing.
Oh.
Because Reverend BMG Williams was a great friend of the Jewish community. And one time when they couldn't meet in their synagogue because there was a fire or something, they met at St. Clement's.
Oh.
So the Jewish people helped build that wing.
Well, the Jewish crowd and the Anglican crowd and the Protestant, Catholic, we all get along pretty darn well in this town.
And that was unique for that time, too. So that's really an amazing history.
Yeah, but El Paso seemed to figure this out. I think it's in the water. It's that lithium thing. But the Reverend Bill Cobb is talking here along with John Dixon. And Bill Cobb, just real quick before we have to take another break, which one is the McKee Chapel?
McKee Chapel is at the far end of BMG Williams. It's the closest one to Yandell Street.
On the south,
at the far end.
The south side.
Yes.
Okay, that's the big chapel for Sunday services. Also, and there's another chapel. What do you call the other one at the other end of the building?
Well, we've got where the main sanctuary has Easter Chapel next
Easter.
To it.
Got it.
And then McKee Chapel is much smaller. And again, we do smaller weddings and smaller funerals, and we also use it for Rey de Paz, which is our Spanish-speaking service at 10:45 on Sundays.
And John Dixon, that's what you're involved in that?
Sí.
Sí.
Claro que sí. Boy, yo soy el pastor de Rey de Paz.
Boy, you've gone past all my Spanish right there. Anyway, Reverend Cobb and John Dixon are here. We're going to talk with you in a minute. And coming back, we've also got the, oh my goodness, we've got, who is that guy, Fountain?
Dave. Oh, Albert Fountain.
Albert Fountain's going to be with us. So we'll do that in a minute. And look at the Facebook page. What's that address?
It's the El Paso History Radio Show page. And we have, I just put up the picture of our guests today who are portraying the different characters we're talking, characters, I shouldn't say character, historical figures from St. Clemens Church.
Also, we're looking at EP History 690 on Gmail if you need to reach us that way. Back in just a moment.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number
3030. Hey guys, remember when you used to look forward to intimacy? Do you find yourself getting anxious or stressed out about it? Even avoiding the situation? Studies show that more than half of men over 50 will experience ED over the course of their life. Viagra only works some of the time, and side effects can be brutal. Oasis Men's Health uses acoustic wave energy to treat the real cause of ED. By breaking down plaque, blood flow is restored, and you are back in the game. No pills, no shots, no pain. Isn't it time you put the stress of ED behind you for good? Schedule a consultation today at oasismenshealth.com or give us a call at 575-652-4444. That's 575-652-4444. Call Oasis Men's Health at 575-652-4444. 575-652-4444. HSA cards welcome.
President Trump is fighting back. Each night, Greg Kelly Reports gives you the real story on Trump and exposes Joe Biden's record. Almost 10 million cable viewers tuned into Newsmax TV last month. Find Newsmax on major cable systems. Check your guide. Get Newsmax free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, Apple TV, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, or smart TVs like Samsung and LG. And download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Watch Greg Kelly and Newsmax TV. It's real news for real people.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got a caller. We may or may not be able to get to him. We got a lot to put in here this last half hour. But we'll get to this now because this week on Only in El Paso, Inc.
The owner of a local hardware and lumber store has worked hard to prepare his business for coronavirus. His efforts were recognized last month by the National Award.
TJX Companies will expand in El Paso with a 2 million square foot facility and 950 new jobs. The jobs announcement was one of two in recent months that were bright spots in a pandemic.
Borderland Film Lovers are getting a special treat this year that makes El Paso Film Festival accessible to as many fans as possible.
Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To order your copy of El Paso Inc., go online to elpasoinc.com.
After COVID-19 cases seem to be dropping, they have started to go in the opposite direction and are climbing once again. These higher numbers come on the heels of Governor Greg Abbott announcing businesses can expand customer capacity as well as permitting some Texas bars to reopen. Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, host Saul Sines talks to infectious disease experts Dr. Alozi, I can't say that first name, about these latest numbers and asks the doctor what needs to be done to protect the public.
Saul's second guest is the CEO and president of the El Paso Chamber of Commerce, David Jerome, and Jerome weighs in on Abbott's recent order to expand customer capacity of businesses. See ABC 7 Extra Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. after the news.
All right, we got the Reverend Cobb on here along with John Dixon, another Reverend. We got Prince McKenzie. Prince, you've got 60 seconds. I got to move on today. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I have a comment about BMG Williams and then a question. My father graduated from New Mexico Military Institute, and BMG Williams was a chaplain. And so when my parents got married during World War II, they got married in that chapel on the north side.
Yep, I know that.
I think one of the most important things that BMG Williams did was he working with other ministers and the synagogue, he created a political action team that forced or leveraged the city to pass the integration ordinance, and this was the first in Texas, and that really made history.
Excellent.
And he and four other ministers actually and a rabbi deserves a lot of credit for that event in Texas history.
Excellent information, Prince. I got to move on here. We got a lot of left to get to. We got the two reverends here. Reverends, you got to tell me about Albert Jennings Fountain. He's about to appear here.
Well, he's not politically correct. I'll just say that.
My goodness. I want to thank Prince for his time frame. He understands this now. And also, let's talk to Albert Jennings Fountains. Are we ready for Albert Jennings Fountains? Melissa, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm waiting.
Here he comes.
Good morning, people. My name is Albert Fountain, and it's most pleasant to be here at St. Clement's with you today. As you celebrate the blessings of 150 years of ministry in this community of El Paso, these beautiful walls and generous facilities testify to the positive influence that this church has had on this community and has fulfilled the dream that we had in 1870 when Parson Taze first brought together our congregation in that little adobe chapel. I came to El Paso, as most of you have, for some other reason than a visit. I ended up in this region after my stint in the First California. That's a Union outfit, a regiment, infantry. And we came and served during the Civil War to New Mexico, where we defended and fought upriver from El Paso at Fort Craig. That was the Battle of Valverde, one of only two battles during the Civil War in New Mexico. And it took place in 1862 at the Valverde crossing of the Rio Grande, just north of the Jornada del Muerto. That was a good year, 1862. The Union Army held that fort, and I headed south to Mesilla, where I met and married my wife, Mariana Perez. She gave us four sons and two daughters. After promotion to second lieutenant, I was discharged in 1864 and spent a few years with the New Mexico Volunteers chasing Apaches across the Black Range, getting shot at with bows and guns. El Paso, what used to be Franklin, on the north banks of the Rio Grande, beckoned us, and the Fountain family settled there, with me taking a job with the federal government under the United States Property Commission. We investigated, seized, and disposed of former Confederate property, probably not earning me many friends at the time. I was born in New York in 1838. I grew up in California, studied law, passed the bar exam in 1860, and I worked as a reporter and journalist for the Sacramento Union, covering a man by the name of William Walker, who was colonizing Nicaragua with expeditions that he funded privately. I almost lost my life to an execution squad because of the reports of Walker's transgressions that I was sending back home, but I escaped. Needless to say, I developed a passion for unearthing and prosecuting wrongdoings in my early life. And that passion informed much of who I was and what I did in my roles as an election judge, an assistant district attorney, probate judge, and deputy court clerk in El Paso and West Texas. My friends at the time encouraged me to run for office, and I did. I earned a seat as a Republican senator in the State House of Texas in 1869. By the 12th legislature, my colleagues had elected me president pro tem and ex officio lieutenant governor of this great state. So I knew the trail to Austin very well, as you would expect, and I rode it several times a year by horse and by wagon to get home to El Paso and Mariana, my wife. It was called the Old Spanish Trail, and it meandered through our huge West Texas landscape with stops in San Elizario, Fort Quitman, Fort Hancock, Van Horn, Fort Davis, Kerrville, Sonora, Ozona, Junction. Those are towns you all know. So it wasn't hard to step up and volunteer to ride the Old Spanish Trail to Austin in 1870 when my brother from St. Clements, Gaylord Judd Clark, the founder of this church, whose window you have above you here, he asked me, he was a good friend, and he had organized and led our group of Christian souls, and he asked me if I would help him go to Austin to meet with the bishop and seek to have a priest assigned here to this new congregation, for we didn't have a priest at the time. Well, we got on our horses and brought home our first and one of our most renowned pastors. That long, long 2 or 3 week ride on horseback, it was pretty good. And Reverend Joseph Wilkin Taze held his own as we crossed the Pecos River and headed into West Texas mountains towards El Paso and the new parish here at St. Clements. Years later, Parson Taze became a popular circuit rider in the region, providing outlying settlements with God's word by horseback. Well, during my time in the state legislature, I helped reestablish the Texas Rangers, which had been disbanded during the Civil War. I'm a man who respected the law and understood the importance of enforcing it. I could shoot straight and had my favorite Winchester rifle nearby most all the time. But my radically conservative nature led to views being expressed which angered staunch Texas Democrats. I also liked chasing down the bad guys still. So I suppose the weight of my friend Gaylord Clark's death will always stoop these shoulders and burden my thoughts, for it was premature. It was Frank Williams that did it. It was close range, right in the chest with his shotgun. Gaylord had raised a posse of good-hearted men to chase down that scoundrel Democrat, who had opened fire on me with his Derringer in Ben Dowell's saloon in December of 1870. Can you imagine that? Well, Gaylord and that posse of good-hearted men raced down to Williams' apartments trying to find him, and Gaylord caught him in the chest with both barrels outside his apartment on El Paso Street. My old Winchester took down Frank from 50 yards, clean, one shot. I took out my watch case to see what time it was, and in it was lodged one of William's Derringer bullets from the saloon fracas earlier that day. The hands were frozen at 4:08 in the afternoon that dark December day. After laying Gaylord Clark to rest with our little St. Clement's congregation, Mariana and the children and I moved back to her hometown of Mesilla. Occasionally, Parson Taze would ride up to share the word of God, celebrate communion, perform a wedding, or just visit with us under the spreading branches of those giant cottonwood trees by the river. And 7 years passed quietly. In 1877, I founded the Mesilla Valley Independent, a newspaper printed in both Spanish and English. I practiced law, ran for, and won a seat in the New Mexico legislature in 1888. In 1894, I became a special prosecutor for livestock associations. I was pursuing cattle rustlers and land fraud. I made enemies of people I suspected of crimes, especially one Oliver Lee, who was a cattle baron in southern New Mexico based in the Tularosa Basin. Unfortunately, actions have consequences. And because of my vigorous pursuit of Oliver Lee and others for cattle rustling, my 8-year-old son and I were ambushed and killed by some of Lee's men while returning to Mesilla from filing charges against Lee and his cohorts in Lincoln, New Mexico, at a place near the Oregon Pass that you might know today. No one ever found our bodies, and the murderers were never caught, though plenty of clues to our demise were left scattered around that buckboard of ours. Even my Winchester was missing. Henry and I never got home that day. Mariana and the other children prospered in what we had built for ourselves and our community in Mesilla. They continued the Mesilla Dramatic Society and the Mesilla Valley Opera House, which is known today as the Fountain Theater. However, I'd like to be remembered mostly by you here today for what I did to help start this wonderful Church of St. Clement, the first Protestant church in the region. I want you to keep her strong, love God, seek justice. Thank you.
Albert Jennings Fountain there, also known as David Edsel.
Oh, he's got such a great voice.
Oh, he does. We did that thing, B-36 thing
with
him.
Yeah, speaking of the B-36,
That was cute. All right. Gentlemen, Reverend, we've got a couple of minutes here and a couple of minutes after the next break. What should we know? I mean, we know you had some historic figures. Albert Jennings Fountain was an incredibly historic guy. And they never did find him and Henry. That's another piece of the strange puzzle. But
no, they actually say the descendants of Oliver Lee, who still live in southern New Mexico, actually know who did it. But they're not talking.
Might be one of the people they know in their family, is what I hear. Anyway, the thing about St. Clement's in a history had a lot of stuff intertwined in the history of El Paso and the region. And one thing I want to clear up or just ask about, Anglican Church versus Episcopal, that changed about a decade ago. Can you take it on a minute here, and after the break we'll come back and talk about it further?
Okay. Sure. Well, you want to do that, Bill?
Well, I'll just keep it very brief. In 2006, I came to St. Clement's. In 2007, we decided to leave. Our church voted 92% to leave the diocese and the Episcopal Church, and we became a founding member of the Anglican Church in North America, which is another Anglican denomination. And people try to point to this reason or that reason. The real reason is that we felt as though our denomination was drifting away from the Bible and drifting away from historic Christianity, and we didn't want to drift. We wanted to stay on our mission and keep the faith that we had learned as we were young. And so as the denomination drifted, we wanted to keep going in the direction that we had been, which is preaching the gospel and serving the Lord. And honoring the scriptures. So that's really all it came down to.
Okay.
And we voted like I said, 92% to leave, and we didn't lose very many people.
And that was in 2007. Reverend Bill Cobb. And also, John Dixon. We'll be back in just a minute and wrap this up after this break.
Okay.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
If the next step for your business is finding a high-impact hire, try Indeed. Their flexible payment options mean better bang for your buck with no long-term contracts. Indeed will even give you a $75 credit for your first job post at Indeed.com/high-impact. Terms and conditions apply.
Would you get on an airplane if you knew it had a 50% chance of crashing? You may be riding that plane right now. If you have your money in a 401k or IRA and you plan to take out the recommended percentage each year when you retire, your chance of running out of money is 50%. 50%. But there's a better and safer way to secure your income in retirement. Discover how in a free book called Rescue Your Retirement. This wealth building strategy has never had a losing year in more than a century. In fact, even the man who invented the 401k now prefers this method instead. Get Rescue Your Retirement free for just a small shipping charge and enjoy a safe landing and a comfortable retirement. Get this free book and make sure you don't run out of money. Hurry, this offer is extremely limited. To get your free copy, just go to growwealthsafely.com. That's growwealthsafely.com to discover how to rescue your retirement. growwealthsafely.com.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here, Melissa there, and also Andrew J. Polk. Thank you kindly for doing the board this on our show. And you had your own show, Talk El Paso, this morning. Yay. And you have a major announcement coming of what's going to be next for Talk El Paso.
That is correct. We are going to be switching to a daily format starting October 19th. That's 2 Mondays from now. We'll be going Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m., right here on News Radio 690. No other programming is being removed. It might be shifted a bit, but we are going to be doing that because we're in the midst of election season, and there's never a lack of talking about what's going on here. So we want to bring live, local, and interactive talk radio back to the airways after it's been gone for a couple of decades here on, like, current events and stuff like that.
Yeah, Monday through Friday, we've had nothing like that in El Paso, and it's a matter now. They're
for
shifting,
a long time, yeah.
They're shifting Levin later. Levin will air in its entirety, but you'll be on 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and the Saturday morning show may be repeats or not.
I think we'll kind of phase it out for now. We'll see if we maybe do best of stuff later on. But, yeah, Monday through Friday will be the focus there, 4 to 5 p.m. We'll, of course, want people to call in because that's one of the major factors that's been missing from whatever other talk shows that have been out there is that audience interaction as well.
Andrew J. Polk going here live Monday through Friday, Talk El Paso, 4 to 5 p.m. starting October 19th. Thank you, sir. All right, the Reverend Cobb and the Reverend John Dixon, we got about 3 minutes here. The summation of the church. That is an incredibly historic church, which is why we decided to do this. 150 years old this week, and it's an amazing place. It's also a very dynamic church, is it not?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I want to mention just a couple things because before we have to end this. People wonder, what is Anglican? It really began as the Church of England, and we don't have time to go into the whole story, but the way I like to describe the Anglican Church is, we have Protestant theology with historic worship, which looks very Catholic. So when the Church of England was founded, they kept the liturgy and a lot of and the structure of the church with bishops and priests and deacons, but the theology is Protestant. So it's kind of a unique denomination. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and then I'll let John chime in, is that one fact that is not well known and is very important is that in the 1920s, when the KKK came to El Paso, St. Clement's was one of two churches that outright condemned the organization. And that not too many people know that, but it's the truth. And recently we've had, before they shut down the border to asylees, we had a ministry where we took the people who had been released from ICE and gave them food, gave them clothing, gave them a place to stay, gave them showers as they went on their way. But that stopped for right now.
That's the current condition. And also the KKK took over the school board of El Paso and renamed almost every school in the area. And they didn't do Klan history people. They did Texas history people. Austin High School, Bowie, Burnham, several others, and that's how the names in El Paso changed in a lot of the schools, and they're still like that. Reverend Dixon, well, we've got about a minute here. Your thoughts on the church? You seem to be having fun doing this.
I am. As I wrote you an email, my wife, Ninfa, who is the sister of Gabe Duran, who you know.
Oh, yes.
Ninfa and I were missionaries in Spain for 28 years, working with the oldest Protestant church in Spain that goes back really to the 16th century. But one of the things that St. Clement's has done ever since the early 70s is support missionaries all over the world.
And so you're part of that.
And St. Clement supported us for 28 years.
That's the end of our show, gentlemen. Thank you for being here. Reverend, both of you.
Very interesting.
If we had more time, we'd keep going, but we can't. So we're coming back next week and doing more history of El Paso. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us. Melissa, next week?
Next week, we'll be here.
See you then. Andrew, thank you. Good luck with the new show on October 19th.
Bye.
See you all next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.